This is the Extra Mile.
Hi, everybody, and welcome back to the Extra Mile. I'm Justin. That's G5. Hey, George.
What's up, man?
And we're here with Caleb. What's up, Caleb?
Hey.
Thanks for what you do, Caleb. It wouldn't be the same without you, Ming.
No, of course not. So we have to have him here.
And for those of you watching on YouTube, we invite you to like, comment, and subscribe. Thanks for watching. Man. Tell your friends about the Extra Mile. We want to see our subscriptions go up. We want the word of God to be spread. So if you drink coffee, this one's for you. Wow. It's nice and cold here in Lubbock today.
I like it. Do you guys like the cloudy weather? Are you thankful? We're coming up on Thanksgiving, so
I am.
We're talking about thankfulness.
I'm thankful for the cloudy weather.
I just wanted to, which I did this morning, but I wanted to get a good book and coffee and make a fire, curl up, and do nothing else the rest of the day. But I read a book, I made coffee, and then I worked the rest of the day.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's okay.
I've been writing standard operating procedures at work.
Oh.
It's like writing instructions. It's interesting.
Wow.
Super boring. But I've also been creating a template for a plan set for my company, and so I've just that's been fun too because it's kind of creative. I get to make creative decisions that are fun.
That is fun.
That's cool.
Something to be thankful for.
Yeah, that's true. I am thankful for my job.
Yeah.
Truly. I'm thankful for doing this. This has been a lot of fun, and I think, you know, when we're talking about thankfulness, I'm thankful for you guys, especially you, George, and you, Caleb, who y'all do a lot of work on the podcast after we stop recording. There's a lot of work and effort that goes into that, and so I think the professionalism of what we have been producing has gone up considerably because of y'all's efforts, so thank you. And all I do is provide the coffee and color commentary.
Yeah, a lot of color, that's for sure. And I'm thankful for all that color. It would be very gray. Very not.
It would.
Not very fun.
Yeah, you understand the sentiment.
There you go.
The cinnamon?
The sentiment.
I have
sentiment.
Holiday things.
No sentiment on it, please.
Cool. Well, I think we're going to talk about thankfulness from the Bible, and you were talking about... Was it passage, is it, in 1 Samuel
that yeah,
is your favorite?
You asked off camera what, whenever we think about thankfulness, and I, unfortunately, here's the color commentary coming again. I don't typically think of like, oh, you know, give thanks to the Lord. My mind immediately went to 1 Samuel 25. And it's a very...
Huh? Of course. Oh, yeah, it's awesome.
Well, not necessarily, but this is mine, and it would be an interesting chat, is that... It struck me when I was doing my reading of the Bible that, A, we're talking about David. So this is the, you know, David the king, but before he was king. So Saul is still alive. This is actually immediately after David spares Saul. David and his merry band of men. And there is probably, even though I don't have any scientific or liturgical or literature history based proof to claim this, it just seems there's a lot of parallels to the Robin Hood story. So I would like to think that Robin Hood was inspired by the writings of David in the Bible.
You think so? I could see that.
Because see that. In the previous chapter in 24, very dramatic, very exciting, David is hiding in a cave because he's on the run from Saul. Saul is trying to kill him, the king of Israel, and David is running from him. Who's actually, David is his son-in-law this time. So he's trying to chase down his own son-in-law. And Saul goes into a cave to relieve himself, to be alone.
Yeah, I remember that.
And he goes into a cave, and you can tell that he takes his garments off to be alone, but he's not alone because David and his merry men are hiding in that cave.
They're like, go kill him.
And so all of his men are like, hey, crawl up there and kill him. Like, God has delivered him into your hands. And David has such a reverence for Saul as the chosen one by God, that he doesn't kill him. He cuts off the corner of his robe and then uses it after Saul is walking away from the cave. David calls out at him and he says, hey, I'm here. And by the way, I spared you. Here's the corner of your cloak. And so it was a moment of deliverance for David. And so David is running yet again, still further, and he comes across a new character, Nabal and Abigail. And he sends a few of his men to go and greet Nabal and say, hey, we're soldiers and we are on your land and we could have caused harm to your shepherds and your flock and damaged your economic structure, and we didn't. And so we're sending you greetings. Hopefully you'll send us greetings and some food. And Nabal says, I have no idea who this David is, and who is the son of Jesse? So he absolutely knew who David was, right? He's David, the son of Jesse. Yep. Sort of a notorious person, if you will.
Yeah.
And so
Nabal kind of insults him.
Yep. So Nabal snubs him bad. And one of my favorite, it was very striking, and I even mentioned it at work earlier, if I can find it while I'm talking.
Where he's like, put on your swords.
That's, yeah, that was it. And so there it is. So verse 13, first Samuel 25 and verse 13, David said to his men, each of you gird on his sword. So each man girded on his sword. And David also girded on his sword. And about 400 men went up behind David while 200 stayed with the baggage. And so they were going to go down and kill him and kill everything and take all their stuff. And it was going to be a revengeful fight. But this is a man after God's own heart. And this is one of my favorite moments. This is 1 Samuel 25, verse 14. But one of the young men told Abigail, Nabal's wife, saying, behold, David sent messengers from the wilderness to greet our master, and he scorned them. Yet the men were very good to us, and we were not insulted, nor did we miss anything as long as we went about with them while we were in the fields. They were a wall to us, both by night and by day. All the time we were with them tending the sheep. So that's good. They were guards to them, right, instead of being raiders.
Yeah, she seems very thankful.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, recognizing, that's the first thing, is being able to identify what's happening about you. That's a first part of being thankful. Now, therefore, know and consider what you should do. This is his advice to the wife of Nabal, Abigail. For evil is plotted against our master and against all his household. And he is such a worthless man that no one can speak to him. So he will take no counsel from anybody, right? So then Abigail hurried and took 200 loaves of bread and 2 jugs of wine and 5 sheep already prepared and 5 measures of roasted grain and 100 clusters of raisins and 200 cakes of figs and loaded them on donkeys. She's going to supply these 600 men that's with David, right? She said to her young men, go on before me. Behold, I'm coming after you. But she did not tell her husband Nabal. So she didn't really, wasn't very truthful to the person who was not a good person. It came about as she was riding on her donkey and coming down by the hidden part of the mountain that, behold, David and his men were coming down toward her. So she met them. Now David had said, surely in vain I have guarded all that this man has in the wilderness, so that nothing was missed of all that belonged to him, and he has returned me evil for good. May God do so to the enemies of David, and more so also, if by morning I leave as much as 1 male of any who belong to him. So David is vowing, as the Jews were very common to do at the time, where, you know, they're like, I am going to do this, and may I not eat any food until I kill this man, or whatever.
I don't understand this rage. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, I think it's an awesome story, but think about that. Someone tweets, George, you're a pansy. And I'm just like, oh, I'm going to get my sword right now and gut you. I mean, it's just, I don't understand how he got there. But it's just like, yeah, some guy says something dumb about my name. It's like, whatever.
See, it reminds me of whenever I had a roommate one time. I won't tell you who the roommate is. But I had a roommate one time who cleaned the apartment. And then I came home, and it's like, oh, thanks. And then went about my day.
Hmm.
And then he felt snubbed because, well, I cleaned for several hours, you know.
Hmm.
Like, really? That's all I got?
They thought about you. It was a thank you. Yeah. Oh, that's interesting. Let's tap into that for a second. Like, what was he expecting from you, though?
Well, I think it was – I don't know because, you know, realistically – whether he was a constant presence in the apartment at the time or whatever, which not so much so. So it felt like my apartment solely. And then to have that person show up and then clean the apartment and then be like, well, hey, like I did this nice thing for you. Like, why don't you
appreciate it?
Yeah, why don't you give me some more appreciation? Once again, I don't know what they were expecting. They're like, oh, well, thanks. Thanks for doing that, I suppose. I mean, what else do you want? You want me to pay you or what have you? David probably felt the same. You could tell his slight. He says, I guarded these people, you know, and then even the report of of the young men is that we were tending the sheep and they were like a wall and they protected us.
Protective wall.
That's right. And so it's sort of like, hey, you know, I kind of did y'all a solid and I protected you and it's time to give us a little something, something. You know, I am the Prince of Egypt or whatever. Not Prince of Egypt. That's a movie. The Prince of Israel.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and so there might be a little something there like, I kind of feel like they snubbed me a little bit. And so the revenge, it makes sense, right? It makes sense to be slighted.
Yeah.
But then Abigail took action, right? And then met him on the road. And so it continues, 23, when Abigail saw David, she hurried and dismounted from her donkey and fell on her face before David.
That's a key figure.
And bowed herself to the ground. What's up?
Words like this, like donkey, you always want to be like, Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because she's acting as the Jesus figure in this story.
So she prostrates herself in front of David and gives him much honor, right? Almost worshiping him. She fell at his feet and said, on me alone, my Lord, be the blame. And please let your maidservant speak to you and listen to the words of your maidservant. And mm-hmm. so, like, that's the first request is, please listen to me. Please hear me. And that's one thing that probably Nabal wouldn't do. Like, please listen to my counsel.
Mm-hmm.
And then, 25, please do not let my Lord pay attention to this worthless man Nabal, for as his name is, so is he. Nabal is his name, and folly is with him. But I, your maidservant, did not see the young men of my Lord whom you sent. Now, therefore, my Lord, as the Lord lives, that's a great comment, right?
Mm-hmm.
As God lives, as Yahweh lives, as Jehovah lives, and as your soul lives, since the Lord has restrained you from shedding blood and from avenging yourself by your own hand, now let your enemies and those who seek evil against my Lord be as Nabal. Now let this gift which your maidservant has brought to my Lord be given to the young men who accompany my Lord. So please take the things now that you should have gotten in the first place as a gift. Please forgive the transgression of your maidservant. So she's asking forgiveness. For the Lord will certainly make for my Lord an enduring house, because my Lord is fighting the battles of Yahweh, of Jehovah, and evil will not be found in all your days. Should anyone rise up to pursue you and seek your life, she's blessing him now, then the life of my Lord shall be bound in the bundle of the living with the Lord your God. But the lives of your enemies, he will sling out as from the hollow of a sling. And when the Lord does for my Lord according to all the good that he has spoken concerning you, and appoints you ruler over Israel, so that they did know who he was.
Mm-hmm.
This will not cause grief or a troubled heart to my Lord, both by having shed blood without cause and by my Lord having avenged himself. When the Lord deals well with my Lord, then remember your maidservant. This is the moment of thankfulness that I think of. Then David said to Abigail, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, who sent you this day to meet me. And blessed be your discernment, and blessed be you, who have kept me this day from bloodshed and from avenging myself by my own hand. Nevertheless, as the Lord God of Israel lives, who has restrained me from harming you, unless you had come quickly to meet me, surely there would not have been left to Nabal until the morning light as much as one male. So David received from her hand what she had brought him and said to her, go up to your house in peace. See, I have listened to you and granted your request. Then Abigail came to Nabal, and behold, he was holding a feast in his house, like the feast of a king. Nabal's heart was merry within him. Uh-oh. What happens whenever we have merriness in our heart? That's not righteous of the Lord. For he was very drunk, so she did not tell him anything at all until the morning light. But in the morning, when the wine had gone out of Nabal, his wife told him these things, and his heart died within him, so that he became as a stone. About 10 days later, the Lord struck Nabal, and he died. Ooh, right?
Mm.
But then the story goes on. When David heard that Nabal was dead, he said, blessed be the Lord, who has pleaded the cause of my reproach from the hand of Nabal and has kept back his servant from evil. So David is absolutely in the mindset that Abigail and her discernment and her quick action and righteousness stopped him from sinning. And he's very thankful to that.
Yeah, he vindicated me. Avenge the insult that I suffered. I suffered from Nabal. Interesting.
And then David sent as a proposal to Abigail, since she was a widow, to take her as his wife.
Hmm.
So that became his second wife after...
Right.
Michael, who was the daughter of Saul. That's right, Michael. Is that right?
You don't know. So when your friend cleaned your room, you should have acted like David here in verse 32. You should be like, oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord God of Israel, who has sent me and sent you this day to meet me and clean my room. Mm.
I think the hollow thanks is, well, so like what should David have gotten, right? And I think if you do an act of kindness, if the intent is to be thanked or to have something in return, I wonder if that was done with the right motivation. And so if you just do an act of kindness, shouldn't that be it? Shouldn't you just be like, here, I did this for you?
Yeah.
And it's, I mean, and now as a parent, that's basically all I do.
Oh, like, yeah.
Are all of the dishes that I clean
all the time?
Are they?
I just cleaned this living room 2 minutes ago. Bomb just went off.
That's right.
Legos Gird everywhere.
On your Playmobil sword.
Go see our Lego episode. Get that Nerf sword.
That's right.
Yeah.
Get your Nerf gun. We will avenge ourselves, right?
So many cool shootouts with my dad.
It definitely comes down to attitude, right? So mm-hmm. What makes a thankful heart? And I think one thing that can be deemed from that is identification. I think that if there was a bit of more humility in David's eyes at that time, which David is a very humble person a lot of the time, you know, to even see into the depths of his heart in the Psalms, you sure do get a sense that he was a humble man.
Well, he eventually did humble himself there at the end, right, when he was like, when he did say, praise the Lord, then mm-hmm. the situation could have ended up a lot worse and kept me from bloodshed.
And it makes sense that that's the purpose of wives, you know, in our lives, where they are men's helper, and they're the ones who are able to, even we get caught up in emotion and caught up in our wrathful eyes,
yeah,
that they're the ones who are able to knock us out with reason and discernment and action.
I mean, I think we just got to be, I think you're right. I think we also just have to be thankful for the relationships that we have in our lives. Mm-hmm. I mean, for our partners, our spouse, our wives, and our wives to our husbands, and see those people, yeah, as a helper. And when we see a helper, I think in today's terms, we're like, I'm just your assistant, and this is your story. Like, this is Justin's story, and my wife is my assistant. That's not what it's saying at all.
No, not at all.
Like, and so, yeah, and so I think some people can just think that with the American, not the American, but the English language that we live in, the American culture that we mm-hmm. live in. But really, I mean, it's a companionship.
Absolutely.
Is what it is.
Yeah, I mean, because the same thing could be happen, you know. I know that it's very easy to get swept up in emotions. Like, even with raising kids, it's sort of, you know, I have great days some days, and I have really bad days some days, and vice versa.
You guys need each other.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's your guys' story. It's mm-hmm. not just one or the other. And
sometimes we're both at it, and we need grandparents, and we need friends, and we need whatever.
And the same way, God is our helper. Absolutely. So many times, I mean, he's kind of like David when he was protecting Nabal, who didn't deserve or need to be protected the way that he was acting. And Abigail's like, you acted as a protective or servant. You acted as a protective wall for me. And God does the same thing for us, something that I think we need to be thankful for. And if we're thankful for and receptive of it, the last thing we're going to do is act like Nabal and selfishly indulge. And instead, we should be acting like Abigail, and who, in this story, I think really acted like Jesus.
I was going to ask, see that which Jesus one acted parallel. Like Jesus?
She's the Jesus figure in this, and it's very clear. Where was that? Where I mentioned, verse 23, when Abigail saw David, she got up quickly on her donkey. It's like, okay. So there's like a parallel to the donkey when Jesus rode that thing. But also, this is the big one. What did she say when she saw David? She's like, my Lord, I accept all the guilt.
Yep.
I accept all the guilt.
She didn't do anything.
She didn't do anything. She was totally innocent, just as Jesus was totally innocent. And she says, I accept all the guilt of this dirty Nabal who doesn't care about her, doesn't care about anyone, apparently. And so, yeah, I think that's something we definitely need to be thankful for. Jesus and the guilt.
So that's kind of not a, That's a story that immediately came to my mind when you proposed that question. What's your thankful passage? So there it is. That's mine. What's yours, Caleb?
We only have a couple minutes left, but I'll go with Philippians 1, verse 3. It's short, but it's writing to the church in Philippi. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. Yeah. It is right for me to feel this way about you all, because I hold you in my heart, for you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. And it continues, but
I love that you said that, because when it's on your heart, I think that's the takeaway point from the other passage as well, is that when you have the mindset of thankfulness, whenever you have perspective, true perspective of who am I in this grand scheme of thing we call life, in the grand scheme of thing we have with other people.
Yeah.
And if you elevate yourself, then you're basically Nabal.
Yeah.
And I liked what you were talking about, too, when it goes to matters. It's really a matter of the heart when you're doing something for someone else, because I'm at fault. I know I've done it before. Just in 1 year of marriage, you know, I spent countless hours a day where I didn't have a lot of work and cleaning the house or doing something like that. And Julie gets home, it's been a long day, and she's like, oh, thank you. And I'm like, I want you to be like, oh, thank you.
That's right.
But of course she's grateful. She's very excited. And the more that she saw the clean house, the more excited that she got, obviously. But also she likes to clean a certain way. So it's just learning about that in marriage too, of how you clean versus how someone else cleans.
How do you fold the towels?
You know what? I don't. I throw the towels away in my new ones.
But love her to death, and she was excited. But the point of the story is that, like, you know, what's the main reason for you doing something for someone else? And also, on the opposite side, what's your reaction to it? So in that passage, you know, keeping it close to your heart, thanking God for my remembrance of you, it's not doing something for someone else to just see the reward from it. It's just doing something nice. And if you get thankfulness from it, great. If you don't, that's okay too. And then on the opposite side of things, thinking about it from the other person's perspective, if someone does something nice for you, it means that much more to go the extra mile and thank them, but not just like thank them, like overly thank them, not to the point where it's extreme or being exaggerated, but just to really show your gratefulness and true appreciation for something that someone else did for you.
Well, so are we closing up?
I mean, verse 3 really shows that Paul's thinking of them. And I know I messed up the other day when I wasn't as good of a husband as Caleb was, and I was making a sandwich, and I made a sandwich for myself. And I told Paige, I made a sandwich for myself for lunch, so don't worry about it. Bye. And it's like the rest of the day, all I heard was, I hope you enjoyed that sandwich you made for yourself. Okay? And I wasn't thinking about her, and so I wasn't being very thankful.
She was being just like Abigail.
Those two things. Oh, yeah, she was. She'd be just like I'm getting in trouble later. But those two things need to be connected. I can see that the church and
I like y'all's relationship. It's just it's playful.
Oh, yeah. The church in Philippi, it did something that's rememberable for Paul, I think is interesting. Because when he thinks of this church in Philippi, he immediately is like, I'm thankful. I'm thankful to God every time I remember you. And I always what? That thankfulness then spurs on the action to always pray with joy in every prayer for all of you. And prayer should be a immediate impulse out of thankfulness. And that's something that, as we close, you can take with you. And
yeah, so in this season of thankfulness, try to do something nice for somebody else. And don't expect anything in return, just because it's good to do good things for other people. And I think that in exploring your concepts internally on your heart about being thankful, take a moment and think about what other people have done for you and how you can pass that on and spread it.
Go so. If you want to know more about the Bible or you have any questions, our email is in the description below. You can DM us. We'd love to hear from you. And if you're looking for a church family or you're in the Lubbock area, we invite you to come visit and hang out with us in Milwaukee. We love for you to find a church who practices the love of Christ.